All right, good evening, everybody. As Donnell mentioned, I love the Devo, thank you. God's grace is too good to keep to ourselves. Lock that in here. Black Gold Days begins tomorrow, and this will be our third year to participate as a congregation in this festival. And our leadership has designated this class period as a time of preparation. And I realize that not everybody here has volunteered, not everybody here can volunteer for Black Gold Days. But this is the best chance we have to get as many people together as before Black Gold to talk about some strategy and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so we're specifically focusing on how we're going to interact with the people at the festival. And I'll give a specific invitation to Devin and to Bruce. I think I have planned some time into this lesson toward the end where we'll have some extra time. And so I invite both of you, when I'm through with this, to come and either add to what's been said or correct what's been said or take away what's been said and replace it with something else. So it's entirely, the lesson is yours when we're through. What I've done is taken the input from Bruce and Todd and Devin, and we're the three inputs on what we were trying to accomplish tonight crossed over. Tried to include that in our lesson tonight, and so we'll see how good a job I did. But please be processing as we're going through this, and if you think that there's something that could have been done better or should be done different or whatever, you are more than welcome to come in and make corrections and additions and whatever you feel is appropriate. So we're going to talk about tonight about what are we trying to accomplish at Black Gold Days? What are we trying to do there? And how are we going to try to accomplish that goal? And how will we respond to potential problems, potential questions, even some challenging questions? So not everyone here, like I said, has volunteered. Not everyone can, but I hope when we're through with this that if you haven't volunteered and you can volunteer, then you will volunteer. So first of all, what are we trying to accomplish? Realistically here, the primary objective, the first and foremost thing we want to do is express Christian love in every interaction. And that may be as something as simple as a hello, hope you have a great day. I mean, whatever degree people will let us interact with them, whatever degree people will let us communicate with them, that's going to determine what we can do. And no matter what happens, no matter how people respond, if they just look at you and say, get out of my face, get out of my way, I don't want to talk with you, we want to make sure that our interaction with them is expressing the love of Christ. However that is, whatever that does, there's no place in here for egos or for attitude, and I'm speaking to me, no place for my attitude here. This is simply a place for us to express the love of God in everything and in every interaction. So it might be something as simple as just a friendly hello, and it might be something as big as a first step on the road to salvation for someone. We don't know. It's God's in charge. But regardless, we want to make sure that every interaction at the festival is characterized by Christian love. So that's objective number one. If we don't do anything else, we do that. The secondary objective is to engage in spiritual conversations. The old derrick beanbag toss that Joshua built for us is a great first step in trying to achieve this deeper conversations. It's a tool for starting conversations, and so I want to emphasize this. It's a fantastic tool. It's a wonderful tool to get people just to stop long enough to engage. Would you like to play beanbag toss? It's not an end unto itself. It is just simply a tool to start a conversation. If we spend our shifts, if we spend our time at Black Gold Days simply entertaining people with the beanbag toss, then we've missed the point of being there, and we've missed the point of the oil derrick. It is simply a way to get people stop long enough to begin to have a conversation with them. And when we begin the conversation, the first thing we do is ask, is there something we can pray for you? That's a pretty innocent question. There are people who cherish the thought of somebody wanting to pray with them. And one of the most moving things I saw last year was people in the middle of the Midway stopping and say, yeah, please pray for me. Please pray for my family. Please pray for my job. And not embarrassed and not ashamed at all to stop in the middle of the Midway with cotton candy and funnel cakes and games and kids bouncing around and just saying, let's stop and talk to God. I think that's a powerful, powerful witness for God and for his kingdom. And I want to say this, and for those of you who volunteered last year and were part of the Prayer Warrior team, I want your input. Most of the prayer requests that I experienced dealt with familiar topics like relationships, jobs, losing a loved one or a health issue. Did you have some other requests that stick in your mind from last year that were radically different from that? Or most of them were pretty familiar to us. Anybody have anything to add? Okay. So you seldom get a left field prayer request. Most people are just interested in their loved ones and their relationships and just simply asking God to bless that. So what do we do? one of the things that we were asked to talk about tonight is potential issues. What do we do if somebody throws a kink in the works? And so if someone asks for a prayer request that seems inappropriate, and we don't need to guesstimate what all those might be, but someone might ask for us to ask God to bless something that God says is not part of his plan, to bless some ungodly behaviors. My answer, you guys feel free to chime in and correct or add to. What I normally do on something like that is to focus on trusting God, offer a prayer about focusing on trusting God. God, we know that you are almighty, all-knowing, that you love us and you want what's best for us, and so we ask you to lead our lives and to take control of who we are and what we are and what we do, and please help us to accept your leadership and whatever that takes us. So that's just kind of what I do with one of those. It's just it's hard to ask God to bless relationships and behaviors that he says are sinful. And so rather than do that, I ask for a prayer that just, God, you're in charge, help us to trust you. The challenging part of this is if we were to poll a dozen people in here tonight, we'd get at least a dozen different answers on how to do what I'm trying to do here tonight. So please understand this is one person's view, and feel free to improve upon it. If someone chooses not to make a prayer request, here's some follow-up questions that might be a good conversation starters, and I appreciate Bruce for bringing his book, Share Jesus Without Fear by William Fay, and some of the actual questions come from this, some of the ideas for the questions come from this, but one of those that comes from the book is basically if they don't have a prayer request, and you still feel like they're open to a conversation, one question might be, from your perspective, who is Jesus Christ? Is he a good teacher? Was he a good prophet? Was he a fictional character from way back when? Is he the Messiah? Is he the Christ? And just trying to get a spiritual conversation going. From your perspective, who is Jesus Christ? Another question that might be an icebreaker is there a heaven? If there's a heaven, what do you think heaven's like? That's a pretty non-confrontational question. Just simply try to get someone to have a conversation and have an opinion. And maybe one that might be appropriate is, how do we get to heaven? So there's our two goals. One is to show the love of Christ in every interaction, and the other is to have spiritual conversations. Next, we're going to talk about some potential problems. And in honest, I think this is great. We need to spend time with this. It's good for us to do this so that we're not caught off guard. Did anybody last year who was volunteering, did anybody come across something that you thought was problematic that kind of put you in a bad spot and you felt uncomfortable with it? Okay. I think it's good and wise for us to be prepared for that. I suspect that's going to be the rare occurrence, which is fine. I'm okay with that. In dealing with potential problems, I'm borrowing a page out of Paul's playbook. I decided better than me trying to figure out what to do, we'll just go to Paul because he seems to know what he's doing. So I'm going to borrow a page out of Paul's playbook. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. beginning in verse 1. Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, and he says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." Verse 2, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see the narrow focus that Paul has with his time and people in Corinth? "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling." I couldn't help but think of this when Donnell was talking with his devotional, saying that, you know, sometimes we're a little nervous about sharing the gospel. Well, I get that from Paul. "I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." This is the play that I'm calling, that I suggest we call at Black Gold Days. I resolve to know at Black Gold Days that every interaction I have is going to be an expression of the love of Christ, and I'm going to try to start a spiritual conversation and offer prayer with people. I'm not going to try to answer every question. I'm not going to try to deal with every opinion. I'm not going to try to approach every idea that's out there. I'm just going to zero in on showing the love of God and spiritual conversations, specifically toward prayer. A couple of interesting points in here. Verse 4, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words." The power of what we're doing at Black Gold Days is the same as the power of what Paul was doing in Corinth. It's God. So the less of us we interject in this project and the more of God we interject, the more power we have. What Paul was saying that he wasn't meeting the expectations of the Corinthians. They wanted an eloquent speaker who could razzle-dazzle them, who could keep them entertained, who spoke in what was considered the appropriate public discourse of the day. And Paul's like, "No, I'm just coming to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I know. That's all I got." He kind of positions himself as a good old country bumpkin preacher who's just kind of just talking simple and giving the good news. I think there's some power in that. And what his point is, he does that, verse 5, so that the faith doesn't rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. It's tempting to try to want to have all the right answers to all the right questions. But what Paul's saying is, "I'm just going to give you God, and I'm going to just trust that God's going to work in your life." What Paul doesn't want to do is become the favorite preacher. He wants to become somebody who just speaks the word and doesn't get in the way. So there's our playbook. Now, based on this playbook, I want to suggest that it's probably best for us to avoid giving our opinions on most subjects. What do you think about Charlie Kirk? Well, somebody's going to love Charlie Kirk and think he's a saint. Somebody's going to think Charlie Kirk is an evil, wicked, hateful person. If somebody comes and asks you, "What do you think about Charlie Kirk?" you probably have an opinion. If you didn't before his assassination, you probably do now. And you might be speaking to someone who shares your opinion of Charlie Kirk, but someone playing beanbag next door to you might have a different opinion. And if you share your opinion and you offend the person playing toss, you may miss a chance to have a spiritual conversation. What would Charlie Kirk want? He would want you to avoid discussing him and point people to Christ. So I'm going to suggest it's probably good that if somebody has, "What do you think about Charlie Kirk?" Other possible incendiary questions, and this just comes from being an old curmudgeon that has talked with a bunch of other old curmudgeons, and before you know it, us old curmudgeons are curmudgeoning about stuff that we probably shouldn't be curmudgeoning about. What is wrong with this country? That's just like saying "sick him to a dog." You know, let me tell you what's wrong. What is wrong with this country? What is wrong with the Republicans? What is wrong with the Democrats? What is wrong with the liberals? What is with these MAGA people? Kids these days, right? Remember, our goal is to express Christian love, not win debates or commiserate with like-minded people. I'll give this to you, and it's worth what it cost you. You can do what you want to with it. My intention, if somebody asks me about Charlie Kirk, my intention is to answer, it's always a tragedy when someone loses their life for expressing their beliefs. It's always a tragedy. Liberal, conservative, doesn't matter. Believer, atheist, it's always a tragedy when someone loses their life for simply expressing their beliefs. Now, here's another kicker. I'm going to suggest to you that there's a good response to almost any question or opinion, maybe something like, that's a really great question. And by the way, is there anything I can pray for you with? Or, I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to pray about? That's a really great question, and I don't know. And then redirect back to what we're trying to accomplish. It's also probably a good idea to avoid opinions on religious questions. Do I have to be baptized to be saved? Do you guys think you're the only ones going to heaven, you Church of Christers? Why don't you Church of Christ folks have a piano or an organ in your worship assembly? Do you think the LGBTQ plus people can go to heaven, or you think they're lost? We might have an answer to that. Remember, our goal is to express Christian love, not practice our apologetic skills. Few, if any, of us are Charlie Kirk. My first thought when we talked about doing this was we were trying to bring us all up to Charlie Kirk speed in a 45-minute class, and I thought, that's a kind of a tall order, because few of us are Charlie Kirk. But perhaps a good response to almost any question of religion or opinion is this. That's a really great question. Let's see what the Bible has to say.
I would just add a reminder, I had in our apologetics class, we're not here to win arguments, we're here to win souls. So,
absolutely.
Covering God with glory, commending God for the wonderful things that he's done for us, for mercy and grace, if we can be nothing else but absolute advocates for God and express our love for God and admiration for God and truly give him the glory and explain maybe some things God's done in your life as a person, if you're comfortable doing that, if you're not, no, that very well may be the way to open up the question, what's God doing in your life? What would you like him to be doing in your life?
Okay. There's a place for that, but Black Gold Days may not be it.
I'm no debater, and even if you win the debate, you might miss a chance to have a good conversation.
And for a guy who loves to debate, I drive Jen crazy. This is just one of the places where I drive Jen crazy. If you like to argue, I like to argue. Just let's pick a subject. You tell me what side I'm on. I don't care if I agree with it or not, and let's just debate. Drives her nuts. That's probably not the way to show the love of Christ and to really get spiritual conversations going. And in the interest of full disclosure, let me explain to you why I am suggesting what I'm suggesting. And I asked Jan to look over my notes, and she goes, well, it sure does look like you're deferring a lot. I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Let me explain why. For many, many, many years, I had a big chip on my shoulder about Churches of Christ. I was extremely disappointed and disillusioned. By the way, some members of the Church of Christ, including my own congregation, conducted themselves. And so for 20 years, I was away from not only the Church of Christ, but for even what God wanted for my life. And I can't tell you in that 20 years how many times someone tried to win me back. Especially if they were Church of Christ and they found that I grew up Church of Christ. They would try to win me back. And all I had to do was ask them their opinion about something, or what does the Church of Christ believe about something. And invariably in their answer, I could find something I disagreed with or took offense to. And that gave me justification for continuing in my rebellion. Can't tell you how many times that happened. And all it took was, well, what do you think about so-and-so? Or what does the Church of Christ believe about so-and-so? And in that answer, I could always find something I disagreed with or that I felt like was problematic. And done, fine. See, that's why I don't do you people. And then I came across a guy named Leonard Gray. He was preaching at Singer and Church of Christ. And I can't tell you how many times I tried to back Leonard Gray into a corner. What do you think about so-and-so? Leonard, what is the church? He was a preacher at Church of Christ. What does the Church of Christ believe about so-and-so? And his answer was always the same. I don't know. Let's just see what the Bible says. Well, what do you think about so-and-so? I don't know. Let's just see what the Bible says. Well, what does the Church of Christ believe about so-and-so? And one time he said, I really don't care, but let's see what the Bible says. I thought, man, I can't get this guy backed into a corner. I was rebellious enough to know that I could rebel against people, but I wasn't very bright, still not, but I was at least bright enough to know I shouldn't argue with Scripture. And so when he kept pointing me back to the Bible, I don't know. I don't get involved in opinions. I don't get involved in politics. Let's just see what the Bible says. I couldn't argue with that. Leonard Gray wound up baptizing both my daughters and leading me into ministry. Countless people before him have tried, and they just reinforced my rebellion. But I don't know. Let's see what the Bible says. Got me back. So I am prejudiced here, and I admit it. So, as you have no doubt noticed, too many syllables, this is a very narrow focus, most narrow focus we've ever had for Black Gold. And again, our two gentlemen may widen that, and they're more than welcome to. But here's what seems to me to be the most important thing we can do. Our primary goal is to express Christian love to every interaction in the festival. Our secondary goal is to engage in spiritual conversations and pray with people. Of course, we want to invite people to worship with us and join us for Friends and Family Sunday. Absolutely. And almost anything beyond that can be handled later with Bible studies and studies with each other. Now, given what we've talked about, what we've already said tonight, is there every reason to believe that most, if not every, interaction we have is going to be a positive, encouraging, uplifting interaction? That's been our experience in Black Gold. And even if there is something that's less than positive and encouraging, it's probably going to be few and far between. But I want us to believe that we can expect God to move in wonderful and exciting ways at Black Gold if we stay out of his way, if we show the love of God, and we point to spiritual conversations, and we lead people in prayer, then I think we can look forward to visiting and praying with dozens of people. And I think, who knows what God might end up doing. We might wind up with some new brothers and sisters in Christ. Devin, the floor is yours.
And really it happened as a response to an invitation to prayer. And so I just want you guys to realize that we are absolutely equipped to comfort and deal with people for that, but we're not the police, but we have to be good citizens in a situation like that. So I want you to not get caught off guard by that, because I was completely off. I mean, I just was completely floored by that. Interaction. And it wasn't even a first-hand interaction. It was a prayer for a child who was in a difficult situation, an adult child. And so maybe be a little bit ready for strange and challenging. But I'm not going to complain to you at all, because this is a stranger who, in response to saying, hey, is there anything I can pray with you about, opened up on a really personal situation, and I thank God for the opportunity that it happened. And at the time, I might have had a moment of, I think my heart rate went up to about 150, And then later I was like, well, thank you, God, for giving me that chance. So don't be alarmed on a situation like that, but just be ready. Again, I think the best thing we can do is let them know that we're out here to meet our neighbors, that we're out here to invite them to the Glenpool Church of Christ. To our friends and family day is great if they come to a meal, but we very specifically targeted inviting people to the meal last year, and I don't know that we had anyone come, maybe one or two. And so invite them to church. You know, we'll have cards with our schedules and get them in the door. And then the thing I think, Bruce, when we talked about this earlier, a good answer to a lot of things is, as David said, let's see what the Bible has about that. We're all equipped to lead somebody into the Bible. If you think you're not, I know all of you personally, and I believe you are. And so don't be afraid to say, well, maybe we need to meet and have a few Bible studies. Maybe we can meet and go into that. And if you're willing to give of your time, and I know you're volunteering for Black Gold Day, so I already know you are, I think that's a great way to handle some things that are too high level to be done standing in a carnival at that time. So don't be afraid to defer it further on. The one thing I will say about the carnival game, it is a really great way to get the children and the adults separated so the adults can be talked to. That's the one thing I really loved about the carnival game. But you kind of need enough people in the booth that somebody can go keep the kids busy while mom and dad have a conversation. Because one thing I noticed, and I'm a people watcher, there were conversations that moms and dads didn't want to have with kids right there. And if the kids are yelling and screaming and throwing the beanbag and you're 10 paces away, those conversations happened, but they didn't happen when kids were. So you might, I hope that you're there with the team, and if your team is big enough, you might divide and conquer and have somebody drag kids away and actually have a conversation with mom and dad. And then I know you don't need me to tell you this, but many of our neighbors are in complicated domestic situations, and they may be cohabitating outside of the blessings of a marriage. And some of their relationship status is it's complicated, and I cannot help with all the different varieties of things, because I'll be honest with you, I don't really even know. I'm not even up to speed. But I'll tell you, there's nothing new under the sun. And they don't need my judgment. They don't need me looking down my nose at their situation, but they might need me to pray for them and to help them understand, well, you know what? I was outside of God's will too. And my sins might not be the same as somebody else's, but you're Bible-believing Christians. Can you tell me my sins were worse or better? Even somebody from an LGBTQ community, apologies, I'm not doing good with these acronyms. That's just sin. It's just sin. It's not any different than any other sin. And so set your judgment aside. It's not going to be helpful to you. And bring your grace, bring your love, and bring your compassion. And this isn't the time to, I guess we sort of have the discussion that I have to plant the seed and then I have to bring them to the foot of the cross within 24 hours. I don't know that that happens very often in life. It has happened few enough in my life that I can probably count on one hand the times that something has been that rapid. You may be planting a seed. You may be encouraging somebody who's already trying to find the way. You may be pulling somebody out of a situation that's not quite biblical as far as their worship goes. They might be meeting with a group that's not really, the Bible's not their doctrine. They have a worldly doctrine and a complicated religious hierarchy of some kind. Just be love for them and just be, well, we simply follow the Bible. And that's what I love about being a member of the Church of Christ, is we can look somebody right in the eye and say, our doctrine is the Bible. We don't have a priest that's not Jesus. We don't have a pontiff. we don't have a presbytery association in another state telling us what to do. We follow the Bible. And so please cling to that. I think that the Bible will be your reference. If you can't count the number of times David mentioned it, And then I really don't know. I'm not worried about you guys. I just worry that we'll be drawn into some current political stuff that's going on. That when we talked about this last week, the Charlie Kirk deal was really fresh. And my thought was, I wonder if people are going to come and talk about Charlie Kirk. A week later, maybe not, right? That might be unfounded fears. But if they are, be ready. And I thought David gave good advice. We're not from Charlie Kirk's group. We don't overlap with Charlie Kirk, but he was bold, and he was unafraid, and he was proud to talk about his faith. And I think those are very admirable qualities. But I think David gave sound advice about politics and things. That's all outside of our remit. So, any questions from anybody? And Bruce, you want to come up next? You got anything to add? I'll turn it over to Mr. Bruce.
Okay, sure. You know, David mentioned about after we ask him if they have a prayer request and they say no, then we ask him, who is Jesus Christ? Or what do you think about heaven? And as they answer you, I think it's important that we listen. We listen close. To either question, you know, if they have a prayer request, listen very close to what they say. We're going to have 3x5 cards there to write down their prayer request. And I think if they want to put their name on it, that's great. We want to go ahead and have them put their name on if they're willing. So we can bring that back to the church and pray for them about that. But let's be people that are open and listen closely to what their need is and how they respond to who is Jesus Christ, or how do they think we're going to get? What was the other question? Is there a heaven or hell? Yeah, that wasn't it, was it? Okay. Also, there may be people who are looking for a church. And if there is, be prepared to tell them positive, good things about our church. We are a very loving bunch. We all know that. We want to stress that. We are a bunch that likes to serve, likes to help each other out. Stress that if they ask. We have good programs for our youth. Be prepared to tell them about that. And be very positive about what sets our church apart from any other church. Okay. I think we need to be prepared for that. And however you say it, is just put it in your own words. And be prepared for that. I think there are many people that are looking for a church out there. Let's see. Okay. Anyone have any questions? Or any other thoughts? We still have plenty of time. We can quit early? Okay. David says we can quit early. Okay. All right. Okay. I will lead us in the closing prayer then. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be your servant, to interact with our neighbors, and we're thankful for this opportunity that Black Gold Days gives us an opportunity to be out among the people. For the church must go out, and we must be willing to do that, and we thank you for that opportunity. We pray, Lord, that you would bless our efforts. We pray that you be with us on our Friends and Family Day, and that we will make the effort to invite our family, invite our friends, invite our neighbors. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to strive to be all that we can be for you, to always want to serve you and to serve each other, to love each other. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. Thank you for our children. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us where we fail you. And be with us, Lord. Be with us if we leave here. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.